Looking for a new 1500 Silverado? Shop Beatty Chevrolet and get 2.9% APR for 72 months on a new 1500 Silverado. Or if you want a new vehicle and a Chevy Equinox LT fits your lifestyle, check out Beatty Chevrolet's lease option on a 24 Equinox for only $325 a month. And as always, buy with confidence with the Beatty Warranty for Life. Beatty Chevrolet on Parkside Drive. Online at BeattyChevrolet.com. Beatty Chevrolet, locally owned and operated for over 90 years.
Hour number three of Josh and Swain begins. Thank you for being with us. We're having a great time here in Gibbs. We are out in front of the Midway IGA with the Michelob Ultra Golf Getaway. It is free to register, free to give yourself a chance to win four tickets to the big golf tournament in Memphis coming up, plus four Michelob Ultra golf bags, plus a $1,000 gift card. Stop by. We'll be here for the rest of this hour. You can register for free for your chance to win the Michelob Ultra Golf Getaway. Free is good as well. So why don't we begin this hour with a giveaway? Caller number one to 656 wins four tickets to Sports Fest. It's getting closer. Saturday, June 4th. Swain and I will be there. You'll see the sports animal personalities. You will see some big names from the sports world who will be in attendance. How about names like Hendon Hooker? How about Chris Lofton? How about Zakai Ziegler? How about Cedric Tillman? Keep on going down the list. We got some legends that will be there. Sterling Hinton, Tony White. It's going to be a big event. Can't wait for it. Sports Fest coming up June 4th. Caller number one to 656 wins a four-pack of tickets to Sports Fest, which will be at the Knoxville Expo Center.
Sterling will be all the way turned up.
Yep, we will have a microphone for everybody who will be a part of the panels except for Sterl.
Don't need one.
He won't need one.
Yeah, he won't need one, man. I love being around Sterl, man.
Yep.
His energy is infectious, so yep. Looking forward to my first Sports Fest.
That's right.
With the crew. So.
I had to be away last year. I was not at last year's Sports Fest. So
that'll be my first one.
This will be the first one for Josh and for Swain.
You going to be nervous?
Yes.
Cool.
But I keep a solid base level of being nervous at all times, so nothing really changes.
Well, I mean, that means you care.
Yeah.
Ain't nothing wrong with that. So good. All right, Josh, I went to get the baseball for you.
You did.
Hold on to it.
You put it away and I already grabbed it back.
Hold on to it. I can't keep going out there in the parking lot, man.
I really am Max Ward. You take it away, I figured out a way to get it right here. Right here in Gibbs at the Midway IGA. Thanks to everybody, by the way, who has stopped by already and signed up. A good amount of people that have signed up. Still plenty of time between now and 3 o'clock to give yourself a chance to win. Today on the show, big topics we've covered so far. The baseball team blowing out Belmont. 18-0. I felt bad for Belmont today. You did not.
Nope.
So taking care of business there. Tennessee baseball ahead of the road trip. Final road trip of the season to close out SEC play in the regular season against Mississippi State. We'll begin tomorrow in Starkville. Also, the CBS Sports coach ranking. Josh Heupel, number 33 in the country, up 19 spots from their ranking a year ago. CBS Sports ranking Josh Heupel as the 33rd best head coach, one spot behind Florida head coach Billy Napier.
Yeah, no problem with that spot right there, but I do have a problem with some of the names in front of him. So, if you had some coaches that were behind Josh Heupel or are behind Josh Heupel, that you can make a case for being in front.
Mm-hmm.
I'm okay with that. But the fact that Billy Napier is in front of Josh Heupel doesn't make a lot of sense to me. And Dave Doran, that doesn't make a lot of sense to me either.
Yeah. Dave Doran ended up catching a stray on today's show. Swain went and did a deep dive on the 2018 draft class from NC State, one that you felt was squandered on the field in the 17th season.
Seven draft picks, all seven drafted before the fifth round, 9-4 in the season. I mean, I'm just saying. I wouldn't have done that if he didn't publicly tell Tennessee no.
Mm-hmm. Swain doesn't forget.
I never forget. Never. Never. Tony Elliott. First game of the season next year. Nissan Stadium.
Swain remembers.
I remember saying telling Tennessee no. Well, I mean, technically he didn't tell Tennessee no because we didn't technically offer.
Mm-hmm.
But if we had offered, he would have said no.
Yeah, did you know that there has never been a coaching search in college football in which multiple coaches were offered a job? It's a crazy stat.
I get it. I get it. Perception is everything.
Yep.
Perception is everything. So I get it. But don't worry. Tony Elliott. Did I call him Tony Franklin? Don't worry, Tony Elliott. We got something for you here soon.
Hey, what is the perception of the Boston Celtics Miami Heat series after last night. Did not go well for Boston, who had a lead, nice lead in the first half, and then 39 points from the Heat in the third quarter. They blew Boston out of the way after that. But Boston was also not at full strength, and they were also coming off a Game 7 just 2 days earlier. Last night, Al Horford, Marcus Smart out, so Miami took advantage. I don't think it's that big of a deal.
Well, Josh, who cares about them? Josh and Swain was right. That's the only thing that matters here. We called it.
Right,
we
you
said,
are.
Yeah, we said that they are coming off the emotional win over the Bucks and that they would fall short against the Heat in Game 1, and that's what happened. And during the first quarter, I had to make a decision. Am I cheering for my stance, my take, or am I cheering for VFL?
Ooh, which side did you take?
It was tough. My take.
You pulled for yourself?
Yeah, I pulled for myself.
Okay.
Because I picked the Celtics to win the series anyways. So, you know, Grant can do his thing, drop 20 points, which he did not do. He was, you know, he was struggling, got into some foul trouble. I thought some fouls went against him that shouldn't have. But I still got the Celtics winning. As long as Grant does his thing, I felt okay cheering for the Heat a little bit.
I don't think there's anything wrong with that. We try to be transparent on the show. I've already told you, I wagered a little bit on the Miami Heat because I felt strongly about our pick on the show. Josh and Swain presented by Action247.com, and it went the way that I thought that it would. I don't think it means too much for the series moving forward, assuming you get your personnel back. You know, if you have lingering issues with Marcus Smart, that's a real problem because of what he's able to do for them on both ends of the floor, in fact. But if they're good to go personnel-wise moving forward, I still think we have a really good series between Boston and Miami.
Yeah, Marcus Smart has developed into a point guard, man. He really has. And you can see that yesterday. It played a part in the game. Celtics had way too many turnovers. Tatum was turning the basketball over, being careless with the ball. And Jimmy Butler had like three or four steals back-to-back. I think getting Marcus Smart back helps your offense, but you have another body that can play physical with Jimmy Butler. I mean, there was times when Marcus Smart was guarding Giannis, and Giannis is, you know, 6'11". Jimmy Butler is 6'5", 6'6", somewhere around that range. So Marcus Smart can play better defense against Jimmy Butler because Butler went ham yesterday, dropping 40-plus points. So this is going to be a really good series. You can still root for Grant and feel good about, you know, the Heat winning Game 1, especially if you put some money on the game. But Game 2, look for Jason Tatum to come out and be aggressive, but also take care of the basketball. I think he's going to be efficient, and he will make the adjustment he did in the last series.
Hey, one other thing back to Grant, when he had that huge Game 7, and he's just been terrific from behind the three-point line all season long. That's been a huge role that he's played for Boston. But Rick, listening to Josh and Swain, sent us a message, and I had forgotten about it. At the start of Grant's pro career with Boston, it actually became kind of a running joke in the locker room because it took him so long to hit a three-pointer. He started out 0 of 25 to begin his career. And I went back and read a story about it. And it even said, you know, he's not really going to be a three-point shooter in the league, but at some point he should at least hit one, right? And now he's become a three-point shooter in the league. So I had forgotten about that, remember it happening, but Rick pointed it out. 0 for 25 to begin his pro career with the Boston Celtics, 7 of 18 in Game 7, and shooting better than 40% from three for the season. We were talking about his career at Tennessee and how he turned things around or just improved. But at the start in Boston, I bet Celtics fans are like, who's this guy that we drafted in the 20s? Can't hit a three?
Oh, yeah. They were crushing him at the beginning of his career. They really was. And I remember they were kind of crushing him when Celtics drafted him from Tennessee. Like, who is this guy? Undersized? What is he going to do?
Because they passed on Matisse Thybulle, who ended up with the 76ers. And a lot of Celtics fans said, no, we want Thybulle. We don't want this Grant Williams guy. He's a tweener. He can't play.
Yep. And Grant has been better so far. Now, Thybulle is one of the best defenders in the league.
Terrific defender.
Don't get me wrong.
Yep.
But Grant is a true 3-and-D guy. He can shoot the three, and his defense is great. It was cool to see Mark Jackson and what's my man?
Talking about Van Gundy?
Van Gundy.
Yep.
Showing him all type of love yesterday and Grant. So Van Gundy tried to critique Grant going vertical, walling up, and playing defense where he was called for the foul, and then they go back and look at the replay, and Van Gundy was like, yo, that was pretty good defense. Never mind. Forget what I just said. That was great defense by Grant Williams. So plays like that just make you smile as a Tennessee fan.
You're right. So still plenty of series to go. Miami up 1-0 on Boston. Game one in California coming up tonight. Golden State hosting against the Dallas Mavericks to begin the Western Conference Finals. Attaboys to hand out. We'll have Braden Gall of 440 Sports at 2:30, and we will be here until 3 o'clock at the Gibbs Center in front of Midway IGA with free registration. Your chance to win the Michelob Ultra Golf Getaway. Great deals for you here as all day long. Mic Ultra 12-pack cans or bottles available for only $15.99. Check out the meat department as they have so much expertise here. If you need your meat cut, they can take care of it right here for you at the Midway IGA. We'll come back on Josh and Swain on 99.1 The Sports Animal. Josh and Swain right here on 99.1 The Sports Animal. 10 minutes from now, Braden Gall, 440 Sports, will join us. We'll talk some college football with him. Tennessee baseball getting ready for the series against Mississippi State on the road beginning tomorrow, and then it's postseason time. And be a lot to follow. Just had Rusty stop by here a moment ago at the Midway IGA, and he's like, man, there's just so much going on with football excitement. Basketball teams had a good run. And now you think about postseason time for baseball and softball. Softball, 17th straight hosting regional. I mean, that just it's easy to take for granted because the run's just been so consistent and set at such a high level for, you know, a long time. I mean, we're talking about coming up on two decades now with that mark. So you have that, and then the Tennessee baseball team with what it's capable of doing. You're getting all the national talk of best team, not just this year, but ever, all that going on. So he's not wrong. I think everybody's picked up on it. There's a lot going on to keep up with, and it's, you know, really a nice holdover before football arrives.
Yeah, I'm glad you mentioned that about Tennessee softball, because like Tennessee softball was dominant and great when I was playing.
Mm-hmm.
Not to, you know, date myself here, make it sound like I'm super old, but like,
you're not that old. We're the same age here. Yeah, so you're still young, man.
Yeah, I went to school when Monica Abbott was pitching, and she was dominating. And I remember that team being this close from, you know, winning the whole championship. But you think about Tennessee softball and compare them to the other sports over the last couple of decades. Basketball, we've had Bruce Pearl, Donnie Tindall, you know, that situation. Football, you've had an AD get fired during the coaching search. He's like, yeah, the fans fire a coach before he even was going to get hired in Shiano. You have Tennessee baseball go out there and hire a Dave Serrano, who was a proven winner, but for some reason just didn't do it here. He's a heck of a dude, and you wanted him to be successful. It just didn't work out, and you hated it for him. But all the inconsistency with all the other sports in Tennessee softball, they've just been constant.
Yep.
They've just been constant. It's remarkable what the Weeklies have been able to build and have now. And I know Roth is chilling, hanging out, drinking some sweet tea, and Karen is still just carrying the torch and doing it at a high level. Roth will probably say that she's even better now that she is by her own self. But it's just really remarkable when you sit back and think about the consistency over a decade plus, coming up on two decades of just, you know what you're going to get. They're going to be ranked. They're going to play at a high level, and they're going to chase the championship every single year.
Yep. It has been remarkable to see, and it continues. So postseason right around the corner for Tennessee baseball and softball. And in the meantime, you get the build-up to football. About an hour ago, Austin Price on with us, VolQuest.com. So call it whatever you will, but gave the slight edge right now to Tennessee for wide receiver Carnell Tate. And also said, hey, look, things can be fluid here. That is definitely the case in recruiting, definitely the case if you're talking about a high-level player like Carnell. So Ohio State, LSU will continue to be in the mix. I'm sure Notre Dame will try to push there. And even after he makes a decision, schools won't stop recruiting. But right now, coming out of this past weekend when he was in town, Tennessee would probably have the edge for highly touted wide receiver Carnell Tate, guy at the top of Tennessee's board.
Yeah, pay close attention to what Austin, when he talks. Close attention. He will drop those nuggets if you pay attention closely. Looks like Tennessee's in a great spot with Calvin Tate. Not Calvin Tate, but Tate right now, and if Tennessee can hold off in the next 30 days, maybe he is a Vol. Other schools, the LSUs of the world, know this, and they want him to push it out. So hopefully Carnell is able to keep LSU away, not take any visits to LSU, and here in 30 days, maybe Tennessee gets themselves a really, really good player. But Austin is right. You don't want to sit here and guarantee anything in recruiting because recruiting is fluid. One thing could be true today. It could be totally false tomorrow. It changes, and especially it changes in the world of NIL now. So Tennessee did themselves a lot of favor in the last couple of days, the last couple of months. Nico has done a great job recruiting for Tennessee. Whether or not Nico comes here and becomes the next great quarterback at Tennessee, he's already helping bring talent here at Tennessee. So, man, Cardale Tate will be a huge, huge get for Tennessee. So,
yeah, you have good gets. That would be a huge get if Tennessee lands Cardale Tate.
For sure. And Tennessee's in a position right now where they can tell receivers that a couple of years ago they would probably take the commitment right now.
Mm-hmm.
But because you are in it with Carnell Tate, you have to tell other receivers, you got to hold on. And you're honest with them. Say, hey, man, Carnell Tate, that's who we got. That's who we got our eyes set on. And there's a pecking order. There's a list. And we're going to work down that list. And we still want to keep communication open with you. We still want you to maybe come to camp. We still like you as a player, but we want to be honest with you. Now, if a player take that as disrespect and they want to go somewhere else, then that's the risk you just are willing to take. You have to be honest with these young men because it can pay off for you. In the world of the transfer portal, it can pay off for you. That kid may go somewhere else for his freshman season, be unhappy, but then he'll remember the coach that kept it real with him. He's gotten 1 year older, 1 year wiser, and he'll value the fact that you were honest with him the whole entire time. So tell the truth. Be honest as much as you can because it can pay dividends for you in the long run if that player is unhappy with the school that he selected over you.
Someone who's always honest with his opinion, sometimes you'll like it, sometimes you won't. Braden Gall, 440 Sports, he'll join us. We'll talk some football with him when we come back with 30 minutes to go here. Set up in front of Midway IGA in the Gibbs Center until 3 o'clock with the Michelob Ultra Golf Getaway here on Josh and Swain on 99.1, the Sports Animal. Josh and Swain right here on 99.1, the Sports Animal. Thank you for being with us. 30 minutes ago, almost lost the baseball again, but I didn't this time, Swain. Here at the Gibbs Center in the Midway IGA, we are here with the Michelob Ultra Golf Getaway Registration. Sports Talk taking over at 3 o'clock. And right now we go to the Stanley Fencing Gates Hotline to say hello to Braden Gall from 440 Sports, joining us here in the joining us on the Stanley and Fencing Gates Hotline. Hey, Braden, saw this note yesterday. More than $370 million in legal expenses over the past seven fiscal years for the NCAA. I think you saw it as well. Is that an efficient use of funds? What would you say?
Oh, this is America, baby. Where else in the world do we use $400 million as efficiently as possible? It's incredible. The NCAA, I don't have the numbers in front of me. I want to say it was like 70 million of that was like some other legal term and like 300 of that was like outside legal fees. And it's just like, you guys spent almost $400 million to not pay players. Like, really? Like, I know you get like $1 billion from the NCAA tournament, but what did you accomplish? Like, what did you think was going to happen? This goes back to our conversation last week about how mind-numbingly idiotic the NCAA can be sometimes. And it's like, man, what a tremendous use of resources. I would love to have a job where I could spend $370 million over 7 years and lose everything in the process and be considered and like still have my job. Like, that'd be wonderful. I want that job. How do I get that job?
Hey, if you Mark Emmert, I mean, you have held off as long as you could, allowing yourself to build that nice nest where you never have to work again. I mean, for the guys at the top, it makes sense to spend that money and make yourself money as much as possible. But it makes you, as a fan, despise the NCAA that much more when you hear about this latest report about the money they spent keeping players from earning income. Like, it really makes it really easy to hate the NCAA.
Yeah, and like, how much more hate do we have in the hate tank? You know what I mean? Like, I'm running out of hate for the NCAA. Like, I know it sort of is a never-ending fountain of energy, but it's like, this is, and this goes back to what Saban said on the Feinbaum show this week, where he's like, oh, you know, I wish we had more parity in the sport, from the guy who works at the university that does the most to destroy parity. Like, I agree with what he's saying, but like, this is all headed in one direction, and I don't like that it's going there, but it's where we're going to end up being, and that is, there is going to be a breakaway. It's going to be about 60, 65 teams. It's going to be self-governed with new rules and regulations. Every athlete's going to get a certain amount of money at every school, especially if it's an SEC school. You're going to get 40 grand a year, 50 grand a year, whatever it is, so that it's all even, it's all regulated, everybody gets paid, and you know, it like, everybody has an automatic bid into the playoff, and then there's second place teams that get into the playoff, and then there's no divisions, and like, some of it I like, some of it I don't like, but this is just too much stuff. It's too much stuff for college. And the good news is, and I say this all the time, and I think I've said this on the show before, like, none of this still changes really what we do on Saturdays. Like, the only thing that's actually going to change what we do on Saturdays is we're going to get to see like LSU and Auburn and, you know, those schools come to Knoxville more often when the new scheduling model comes out and divisions are destroyed. Like, the only impact on fans in like Neyland Stadium specifically is you just get to see more good football teams come through town when they do make all these changes. In the meantime, behind the scenes, somebody's got to figure out how to manage all this stuff. And like, there's just too much going on for it not to eventually become its own thing. And I don't know what that looks like. Is it the Big Ten is the NFC and the SEC is the AFC? Is that where we're going? Like, I don't think it's too far off from probably four, like we all joked 10 years ago, four super conferences of 16 teams each, where we end up with, you know, 12 teams going to the playoff out of those 16, those four conferences, and they have their own rules and their own finances and their own governance and their own everything. I don't know how we don't end up there, frankly.
Braden Gall, 440 Sports. So this is all very important. I really think so, because it's everything that's happening behind the scenes and driving the future. Is it still kind of filler and noise, though, because Saturdays, you think they'll still look like fans are used to seeing them Saturdays with college football?
Well, I mean, you guys tell me what you think, but like, my enjoyment level on Saturdays has never been tied to how much the running back was making under the table. Like, that's never been a factor. Like, I'd have never cared how much he does or doesn't get paid. I watched Derrick Henry for the Titans, and I don't like his salary cap hit is not something I'm thinking about on Sundays when I'm watching the Titans play. Like, it's not a thing, you know. I think being a fan, managing rosters and like understanding how players move around the country, sure, that if you're in the weeds on that, that takes a little bit more effort to know like which players on which roster and somebody so-and-so's move. But if you're a diehard Tennessee fan, like, you know who your starting 22 is. You probably have a pretty good idea who the backups are. And sure, a transfer may leave, or, you know, may go to Alabama. A transfer may come in from Virginia Tech. And like, but aren't you still going to sit down on Saturdays in the same section with the same shirt and sing the same song and drink the same beer and park at the same G20 lot and do the whole, like, aren't you going to do all the same stuff? Like, I don't think it actually affects you at all as a fan. If anything, like I said, I think it will open up opportunity for more teams to get into a playoff, which sounds like a good thing to me if I'm a fan of my team. So I think it's a lot of stuff that people like to panic about, and it's really good in the off season on Twitter for it to be like super anxiety riddled. But like, I don't think it actually does anything to us, especially once it gets all settled, right? Like, when it all regulates itself and it all becomes sort of, you know, standard, I think we're all going to file right into the same stadiums we have for 100 years and watch ball the same way we have for 100 years. And I don't know why anybody should be scared or concerned about what we're going to do on Saturdays, honestly. Like, I think it's going to be great. And again, this new scheduling model, to me, the fact that Auburn and Tennessee and Auburn, like LSU and Tennessee and Ole Miss and Tennessee only play in Neyland Stadium, or that Tennessee only plays in Baton Rouge every 12 years. That's absurd. And so one of the main changes that's going to happen is this new scheduling thing that they're going to do. And this is where the SEC wants. They want to change their scheduling. So they're going to do away with divisions because it's the right thing to do. And when they do it, what's the impact on Tennessee fans at Neyland Stadium? You're going to get to see more good teams come through Neyland Stadium more often. That's it. That's all there is to it. So I'm not really concerned about it as a fan. And I'm frankly tired of having to know all the minutia as a media member. Frankly, I'm getting tired of it.
Yeah, I'm just ready for some football. It is May.
Yeah.
So like, if I'm ready for football now, my goodness, what am I going to do in June and July and August? But I just think it's funny, Braden, that, you know, you have fans that are like, man, this is ruining college athletics, and it's ruined, and it's terrible. And yes, like it may ruin it, but don't pretend like you're not going to watch it and you're not going to totally forget about NIL and portal when the season comes along. You'll be a normal fan, just like we all are, rooting for our team to win.
And I would ask the follow-up question to that person who says, man, this is ruining college football. I don't want it to be like the NFL. And I've understood that for a long time, as like the imperfections of the game are the charm of the game, right? But we can't control the market and where the world is going. And college football is like, we're not going to remove the portal. We're not going to remove name, image, and likeness. We're not going to remove, like, you can't put Oklahoma and Texas back in the Big 12. You can't change the dollars that TV is willing to pay for live sports. Like, none of this stuff is in our control. Like, it's not like there's active parties that are diehard fans of college football that are going around trying to do all this stuff. I mean, I think many of us believe that athletes should be compensated for the work they put in, because they're basically full-time jobs. And I think that the work that a lot of us have done to try to kind of, affect change in that department, I think has paid off. I think public perception is okay with that now, as it should be, in my opinion. So, again, like, what when somebody says that, I would love to hear their response to, well, what is it that's being ruined? Like, what do you really believe that in 2008, let's just pick a year, 2009, Alabama undefeated 09, do we really believe that, like, Julio Jones was playing for the love of the game? like give me a break with that. This is an opportunity for life-changing, life-altering accomplishments. And that's the American dream. Like, that's what should be okay. And so I don't know what exactly has been ruined. Like, I don't know what's ruined. You know what I mean?
I need your opinion. I asked Josh. Josh thinks it's okay, but I think he just wants me to embarrass myself, so I don't know if I trust Josh. I think he just wants a good laugh. But I need your opinion. Do you think that I need to be the T. Morant of Tennessee baseball? I think Tennessee baseball is getting a lot of love. We got experts out here saying that the Tennessee baseball is the best team from top to bottom ever constructed. I don't know, man. I think it sounds like rat poison. They need somebody to kind of throw some cold water on them. They need somebody that loves them. Here's the thing about T. Morant. No one loves Ja Morant more than T. Morant. That's his son. I love Tennessee athletics, but T. Morant is about doing what's best for his kid. Do I need to be the T. Morant of Tennessee baseball and throw a little hate in just to keep those guys humble?
100%. No one is more qualified than you. I would vote for you.
All right.
No question about it. Especially not after Josh, sorry, dude, but you're obviously not qualified for this because of your chicken finger boy status. By the way, Sam Howell. We had that conversation. I thought about you guys, because then I thought Sam Howell like takes his own chicken fingers to like the team dinner. I'm like, oh my God, what is going on here? Garrett Cole and Trevor Bauer, although Trevor Bauer is not having a good run of it. I think they were on the same rotation at UCLA. We had Jack Leiter and Kumar Rocker on the same rotation last year for Vanderbilt, and neither of those two teams won the national championship, I don't believe. So I think you got to finish the deal to be considered even in that conversation. Now, could it be one of the greatest regular season SEC teams of all time? 100%. Absolutely could be that way. There's no question about that. Could it be one of the greatest offenses in SEC? Like, we can have a lot of different qualifiers to and enjoy that part of the team. But I you got to get to Omaha, one, which is very hard, and you got to do something while you're there. And until that happens, it's like, you know, I'm not willing to put labels on anybody or anything until we get to that point. So, yeah, lower the temperature a bit, Jay, and make sure everybody realizes that there's a lot of rat poison lurking on the internet right now that they need to be swallowing. They need to be just keeping just chicken finger boy size servings of rat poison.
I got you.
And Swain's correct. I really just want him to embarrass himself. So that's my focus here with this upcoming endeavor. Hey, Braden, what's going on at 440 Sports before we say goodbye?
Sam Pittman, Arkansas head coach, on the show this week. Fringe Element, SEC football. You can check out the YouTube page if you want to watch it. Myself, Aaron Dugan, we talk SEC football. We lay out all the divisional stuff, how they're going to go away, and all this other stuff. So, but Pittman was great, man. There's a reason he's doing good things at Arkansas right now. So check out that show. Came out this morning, and again, we'll be up on the YouTubes here anytime you got all kinds of shows on the 440 Sports YouTube channel as well. So you got all the other podcasts. So 440 in your podcast app, 440 Sports into the YouTube channel, and you'll get all kinds of content for the state of Tennessee, whether it's Titans, whether it's Vols, whether it's John Morant, whether it's, you know, you name it. Nashville SC, Predators, we got it all. So check out the stuff. We really, really appreciate it. We love the state of Tennessee, and we hope you guys enjoy the content. So check it out.
440 Sports. Braden, we appreciate the time as always. Thanks. We'll talk again soon.
Always a pleasure, guys.
Joining us on the Stanley Fencing and Gates Hotline. Before we close out this segment, Swain and I want to hand out some attaboys.
I just wanted to come by and congratulate you on the great work you've been doing.
I like your style. You remind me of a young me.
Failure is not an option.
That boy is good.
Don't remind yourself. Nobody built like you. You design yourself.
Attaboy. Presented by Native Design and Hardscape. Who gets an attaboy today?
I don't know. The reason why I don't know is because it is an anonymous donor that impacted and changed the lives of 100 students who were assembled for the 133rd graduation ceremony at Wiley College. And when they were shocked when the president and CEO, Dr. Herman Felton, announced that their balances for their student debt has been paid off and cleared. $300,000 has been estimated that the 2022 class of the HBCU Wiley College been cleared off by an anonymous donor. So that is my attaboy or attagirl. I just don't know who it is.
That is awesome. That is a very cool story. Quick attaboy to Kirby Connell. He's been a Tennessee fan favorite with the Vols baseball team, junior reliever. He was named to the SEC Community Service Team. Connell served not only the local community here in Knoxville, but he has gone around the globe as he took part in the Vol Leaders Summer Immersion Experience in Belize. During the service trip, Connell, along with some other Vols and Lady Vols, worked with the Hearts of Christ Children's Ministry and the YMCA of Belize to help strengthen that community and help them form bonds through sport. So, attaboy to Kirby Connell, named to the SEC Community Service Team, while also being a part of this big run by Tennessee's baseball team. So, to Anonymous and to Kirby Connell, attaboy, perhaps attagirl. Everyday attaboy presented by Native Design and Hardscape, making backyard dreams come true. They can help your outdoor space at your home or your business. Those dreams come true. Visit them online, nativetn.com. We have a final segment with the Power Poll coming up. Top five SEC East football coaches. Who are they? We'll tell you when we come back. Here at the Midway IGA in Gibbs with the Michelob Ultra Golf Getaway on Josh and Swain on 99.1, the Sports Animal. Everybody that came by here at the Midway IGA, great hospitality too here at the Midway. Not a surprise here in Gibbs.
Oh, yeah. Great hospitality. Look forward to being back out here. And beautiful day. Can't beat it. We outside. Had a good time, man. Sad that the show is almost over.
Yep. We'll be back tomorrow, though, at 12 o'clock. We will be out at Ted Russell Ford on Kingston Pike tomorrow. We'll have a lot of fun tomorrow from 12 until 3 as we continue on in the week, and we'll have four qualifiers at the end of the show today as we Thanks to Michelob Ultra for having the golf getaway. Better than a birdie. Next Thursday will be the grand prize giveaway. We've been out here in Gibbs getting the signups for next week's big grand prize giveaway. 4 tickets to the big golf tournament in Memphis, plus 4 Mick Ultra golf bags and a $1,000 gift card. Here on Josh and Swain, we wrap things up with the power pole.
Captain, we're losing power in the warp engine.
Nuclear power pants.
What's up? I'm Kenny Powers.
You don't know the power of the dark side.
I have the power!
With great power comes great responsibility.
Full power, Mr. Scott.
Alrighty, Swain, one of our topics today, the ranking of college football coaches around the country. Josh Heupel at number 33, according to CBS Sports. So today, we have our top 5 head coaches in the SEC East.
Sure,
hit us with your top 5.
Yeah, number 5, I got Billy Napier. He will not be 5, I don't think, this time next year. But for right now, that's why I have him. And then number 4 is Shane Beamer. Number 3, I got Josh Heupel. Number 2, I got Mark Stoops. And number 1 is Kirby Smart. The reason why I have Stoops at number 2 is because he's going into his 9th season. Josh Heupel's only been coaching Tennessee 1 year. And Heupel did beat Stoops. But, again, 1 year versus 8 years, I had to give Stoops the advantage there simply because of that reason. And then Kirby Smart, the only coach in the East who has won a championship. His team will go for another one this year, so got to put him number 1. Did not put Drinkwitz in the top 5. Did not put Clark Lee in the top 5. I think you understand why.
I do. I am in the same boat as you. The Power Poll today, top 5 SEC East football coaches. The Power Poll presented by Alcoa 10 Federal Credit Union. Swain, you were oh so close to getting it right. I have Shane Beamer number 5.
Okay.
Billy Napier number 4.
Okay.
Josh Heupel, number 3. Mark Stoops, number 2.
All right.
Kirby Smart, number 1. We only disagree on number 4, number 5, and at least on my side, we don't disagree strongly. I do have Billy Napier a spot higher than Beamer. I don't know, maybe it's that trick play. Still comes back to the head coach that I saw at Neyland Stadium last year. Beamer actually did a really solid job. That was a team, their over-under on wins was 4, I think, last year. And they got to a bowl game and then won it. And Heupel and Beamer actually split first year coach of the year award. So
they shouldn't have split that at all.
Okay.
Not to that drumming in Knoxville.
It wasn't close.
28 points in the first quarter. I was high-fiving my buddies in the second quarter. And that was a beatdown.
Yeah.
So how do you split that award? That don't make any sense. But I have no problem with your list. I mean, I put Napier at 5 because he hasn't coached yet in the SEC. I know he's good. I know
even predicted Napier will be higher a year from now, so yeah. I'm just going ahead and getting ahead of you there.
Yeah, well, I mean, Beamer did finish strong.
Yeah.
You know, he finished strong. He did beat Florida, even though Florida just kind of just fell apart late in the season. He took advantage of that. But he did play well. His team, they bounced back. They fought for him. They got a lot of momentum going into this season. Even got Hootie out here, you know, talking cash, writing checks with his mouth that his butt can't cash. But, hey, man, we'll see what happens this football season.
Yep. I did not consider Drinkwitz. I just need to see a lot more. And then Clark Lee, there has not been an opportunity for him to crack the top 5.
Yeah, and it won't be.
Yeah.
It won't be.
That's probably right. That's the Power Poll today. Top 5 SEC East football coaches. Every day, the Power Poll is presented by Alcoa 10 Federal Credit Union, your less red tape banking alternative.
The countdown is on for the 2024 NFL Draft, presented by Bud Light, live from Detroit, and you can attend in person for free.
Welcome to the NFL Draft.
See the next NFL stars and experience the ultimate NFL fan festival, featuring live concerts, interactive games, player autographs, and more. The NFL Draft, presented by Bud Light, April 25th through 27th. Visit NFL.com/draft access to register for free entry today.